Amen. You know, church, sometimes there are songs that are done that I don't really feel like I need to talk after that, you know? That was beautiful, beautiful time of worship this morning. So thank you, praise team. Church, go ahead and open to 1 Thessalonians 5 this morning. So as you're turning there, we are now in the month of November. So what more appropriate thing to talk about than gratitude, right? Everybody loves to talk about gratitude. Or I guess everybody that's not here loves to talk about gratitude. You guys are on fire this morning. That's wonderful. So, you know, we're getting into the Thanksgiving season, and for some people, this might be like your favorite holiday of the year. For other people, maybe it's not necessarily your favorite holiday, but it's like your favorite season, like your favorite time of the year. Because, you know, it's fall, the trees are changing colors, it's no longer blazing hot outside. Instead, we get, you know, that. Because it's kind of cold out this morning, and I didn't put a sweater on. And I was walking out the door, and my wife said, you know, it's kind of cold out. I was like, yeah, I'll be fine. I wasn't fine. I was like breathing my breath in the car on the way here. Oh, it was. But this is about gratitude. We're being grateful today. So, you know, with this being that time of year, you know, this is one of my favorite times of year personally. I really love this season. I love this time of year because I find Thanksgiving to be a time of rest. I find it to be a time of spiritual rejuvenation because we're focused at this time of year. We're focused on being thankful. And that is a positive, that is an uplifting, that's an encouraging thing to be focused on, to be focused on what am I thankful for? What am I thankful for that the Lord has done, that the Lord has provided, that the Lord has blessed in this time, that he has done, that he has worked in my life? It's an encouraging thing. But with that, I always come to the same thought every year, and that is, you know, we set aside this time of year to be thankful. And so as a result, we're a little bit more focused on it. We're a little bit more focused on trying to be thankful. We're a little bit more focused on trying to be grateful to the Lord for the blessings that he has given. And we focus on that. And as a result, we tend to be what? We tend to be a little bit more joyful. We tend to be a little bit more positive, which is good. But I can't help but think that the rest of the year, because we focus on it at this time of year, we don't really focus on it at any other point in the year. And so what do we end up focusing on more? We end up focusing more on things that are negative. We end up focusing more on things that didn't go our way, or I really wanted that thing to happen, but it just didn't happen. We focus on a little bit more of the negative things outside of this time of year. But as believers, we're supposed to be grateful. And so what better way to kind of kick off a series looking at gratitude than by talking about the fundamentals of gratitude? What does it mean to be grateful? How are we supposed to be grateful? Why are we supposed to be grateful? Well, great questions, and I'm glad you asked. So look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm going to read a very short, very simple verse 18. It says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. What is the will of God for your life, church? It's to be thankful. And there are so many different things that you can go to Scripture and say, you know what? It's God's will that I'm gracious. It's God's will that I serve him. It's God's will that I share the gospel. It's God's will that I do all those things. And yes, absolutely, it is God's will. It is his command that we do those types of things. But you know what? As far as saying, this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus, Paul writes it right here. And he says, the will of God in Christ Jesus for you, a believer in Jesus Christ, the will of God for you is that you have a life of joy, prayer, and thanksgiving. That's what Paul is writing in this passage. And you know what? As believers, we know this. I really doubt that I've said anything this morning that you were not already aware of. Because if you've been following Christ for any length of time, then you know, yes, God's word tells me that I'm supposed to be grateful. God's word tells me that I'm supposed to be thankful. God's word tells me that I'm supposed to be joyful, that I'm supposed to be prayerful. God's word tells me these things. But it's a lot easier to be told these things than to do these things, right? Because the truth is, while we know I'm supposed to be grateful, I'm supposed to be thankful, we aren't always. We're not always thankful. But I want to point out a couple. This is a very short verse, but I want to point out just a couple of things about this verse. So go back to it real quick. He says, give thanks in all circumstances. Now, normally I like to talk about what is here that we need to kind of draw out of, but for once, I'm going to talk about what's not here. So what is not here? What does Paul not say in this? He says, give thanks in all circumstances. Notice he doesn't say, give thanks for all your blessings. He doesn't say that. Why does Paul not say, give thanks for all your blessings? I think he doesn't say, give thanks for all your blessings because we don't really struggle with that. Who really struggles with saying thank you to a blessing? We don't necessarily struggle with that. Because if we were to do a poll right now and say, who here is thankful and grateful for the blessings of God in their life? Who is going to say, yeah, mine aren't good. I really wish that God would kind of raise the bar on that. God needs to do better. Like, who's going to say that? You might be thinking it, but you're not going to say it. I mean, come on. Obviously, if you say, are you thankful for your family? Yes, I'm thankful for my family. Are you thankful for your job? Yes, most of the time I'm thankful for my job. Are you thankful for your house? Yes, I'm thankful for my house. Are you thankful for the sunshine? Are you thankful for the changing of seasons? Yes, of course, I'm thankful for those things. But you see, that's not what Paul says to give thanks for. That's not what he says to give thanks in. He doesn't say give thanks for or in all of your blessings. Give thanks in all circumstances, which means when your family no longer feels like a blessing, but instead they feel more like a burden, when your family is just annoying you, or they're doing things that cause you pain, they're doing things that cause you sorrow, are you still thankful? When your job puts on you a specific request or a specific timeline or something that you have to do for your job, are you still thankful for it? When the seasons change, yes, the seasons change, and we just had a wonderful changing of season. We went from the blazing heat of summer to the cooling down of fall, the changing of colors, and I know like 90% of you made a trip to the mountains to see the changing of colors in the mountains because we love to do that because it's pretty, but guess what? Behind fall is winter, and winter is awful. Because winter brings ice. It doesn't bring snow because that's not where we live. We get ice because that's just God laughing at us. Are we still thankful? I'll be honest, I'm struggling with that one. But are we still thankful for that? Are we still thankful in those times? Are we still thankful when the blessing doesn't seem like it's that good? Because you see, we are supposed to be thankful in all things. We don't get to pick and choose. We don't get to say, you know what, today was great. Today everything went exactly the way it was supposed to. God blessed me in exactly the way that I needed him to, that I wanted him to. So today, I'm thankful. It's wonderful. And then tomorrow, you know what? Tomorrow wasn't as good. Things just don't quite go as well. Things are, compared to yesterday, things are just nowhere near on level with yesterday. So I'm not quite as thankful today as I was yesterday. We don't get to do that. Because as believers, we are called and commanded to be thankful, to be grateful in all things and in all times. There's a story that kind of goes along with this that I read recently. I found it humorous. Maybe you will too. I don't know. Last time I preached and I told a joke, y'all didn't laugh. I'm still a little bit upset with you for that. And I know I shouldn't say that on a sermon that I'm talking about gratitude, but you know what? I am. Because I think honesty is an important thing too. So, yeah. You guys have to laugh now. There we go. So two men were out together. They were out in the woods together, and they were walking home, and they decided to try and take a shortcut. So as they're walking through the woods, they saw a fence that led across an open field. So they decided to jump the fence and cross the field to get back home as a shortcut. And, you know, they jump the fence. Everything's going fine. They're walking along through the field. They're chatting with each other. And then all of a sudden, they see a bull. And this bull is a little bit upset with them. This bull apparently did not expect any visitors. So the bull is kind of, you know, doing the whole thing, like lowering his head and looking like he's about to charge. So the guys very calmly start to try and back up. Don't want to make any sudden movements, spook the bull. So they start trying to back up, and then the bull takes off and starts to charge them. So they turn, they run as fast as they can. They're trying to get back to the fence. The fence is a good 50 yards away. They're booking it, trying to get back to this fence. And after a few seconds, it becomes apparent they're not going to make it to the fence. So the one guy is running, and he says, "John, you better throw up a prayer. I don't think we're going to make it." And John says, "I don't pray in public." He says, "You got to. We need prayer. We need divine intervention here." He says, "Okay, I only know the one prayer." He says, "Well, then you better pray it." He said, "Dear Lord, for what we are about to receive, please make us thankful." You laugh that time. See, we laugh at that because it's funny. But the principle is actually true. See, we're supposed to give thanks in all things. Because notice, what does he say? Give thanks in all circumstances. Now, I want to make sure that we're clear on this. Because we tend to get a little bit confused. When we read something like this, we think, okay, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for us. And we think, well, you know what? I'm not thankful. I'm not thankful that I lost my job. I'm not thankful that I got that diagnosis from the doctor. So if I'm not thankful for that, does that mean that I'm not in God's will? Does that mean that I'm being disobedient to the Lord? Remember, what does it actually say? Notice, he doesn't say, give thanks for all circumstances. It says, give thanks in all circumstances. We give thanks in all circumstances. Now, of course, that begs the question, how? How am I supposed to do that? How do I give thanks in all circumstances? Because let's be honest, some circumstances are awful. They're terrible. We wouldn't wish them on our worst enemy, let alone ourselves. So how are we supposed to do this? It goes back to the foundational truth that all of Scripture and honestly all of the universe are built upon. That is that God is in control. In the absolute best of times and the absolute worst of times, God is still on his throne. He is still in control. He is not surprised by anything. He's not unaware of anything. He is in control at all times, in all things, which is why, regardless of the situation, regardless of the circumstance, we are commanded and we are expected to give thanks in all things. Because we're not giving thanks for the circumstance itself. We're giving thanks to the one who is in control of the circumstance. This is about our relationship with Christ. We are able to give thanks in all things because we have a relationship with Jesus. And that relationship cannot be broken. It cannot be tainted. It cannot be severed. We have that relationship with Jesus forever. And in that relationship with Christ, we are thankful. Regardless of how bad the situation or circumstance might be, regardless of how good it might be, that doesn't matter, because ultimately, my gratitude, my thanksgiving is found in Jesus and in Jesus alone. So with that, I think it's very important that we define what exactly is gratitude. So flip over with me to Genesis chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8, and we're going to see actually a very good example of what it means to be grateful to the Lord. Start reading in verse 15. Then God said to Noah, "Go out from the ark, you and your wife and your sons." That's verse 16. So verse 16. "Go out from the ark, you and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing that is with you of all flesh, birds and animals and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, that they may swarm on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth." So Noah went out, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, and every bird, everything that makes on the earth, went out by families from the ark. Verse 20, "Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took some of every clean animal and some of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar." So real quick recap of everything that happened leading up to this. So the world has turned its back on the Lord. The Bible actually says that mankind, all of humankind, began to do what was right in his own eyes. Meaning what? Meaning mankind had developed his own morality. Whatever was good, whatever was wrong, whatever was pure or righteous or evil, man determined what it was. Man decided that he had no need for God any longer. So God told Noah, the last righteous man on earth, he said, "I'm going to send a flood. So build an ark. Put two of every animal on the ark, and I will remake the earth through you, repopulate the earth through you." So Noah does this, and as he's doing this, he is preaching for years. This was not a six-month project and the ark was done. This took years. So for years, Noah was preaching. Noah was proclaiming the truth of God's word. He was proclaiming, there's a flood coming. God is going to judge the sin of the world. You need to repent, repent, repent. And you know what? After all those years of telling the world exactly what God was going to do, no one listened. Not a single person heeded the word of Noah. And as a result, the entire earth was flooded and everyone was killed, except for Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. So they spend quite a bit of time on the ark. When the flood comes, it's not just rain. You go back to the beginning of the flood, when the waters come, there's rain, but it's not just rain. The Bible says that the earth actually breaks open and water shoots up out of the earth like a geyser. And this happens across the entire earth. So the entire world, there's not a single speck of land anywhere on earth that is left dry. All of the world is flooded. And then it rained. It rained for 40 days, and it rained for 40 nights. And when it stopped raining, that did not mean that Noah and his family could get off the ark. No, they actually are on the ark, and they continue to be on the ark month after month after month after month. They spend just shy of 1 year on the ark. Approximately 356 days they spend on the ark. Now, let's think about that for a moment. They spent 356 days, the eight of them, with all those animals, 356 days in that ark. You guys, we thought our quarantines were bad. This is ridiculous. There was no getting away from anybody. There was no finding some fresh air somewhere. They didn't even have a deck of cards, y'all. I mean, I can't imagine how bored they must have been in that year. But they spend a year on the ark. Now, here's what's amazing about this. When the waters have receded, And God tells them they can go ahead and get off of the ark. He says, go ahead, you, your family, all of the animals, everybody, go ahead and get off of the ark. What is the first thing that Noah does? He builds an altar. He gives thanks. He worships. Now, personally, I thought about this, and I thought, what would it be like to be trapped in a boat with my family for a year? I don't know that we would all survive. I love my family. I love them dearly. But that would test the limits of my love right there. For a year. So after that year, he doesn't do what a lot of us would probably do. He doesn't just run off of the ark and say, oh, fresh air. He doesn't just run off and say, okay, y'all do whatever you want to do. I'm going to go be by myself. I just want to be alone. That's all I want. I just want to be alone. Y'all do whatever you want to do. He doesn't get off the ark and then just kiss the ground. He doesn't bask in the sunlight. No, the first thing that he does is he builds an altar to the Lord. He builds an altar to the Lord, and he gives thanks to God. He gives thanks to God for his grace. Because it's only by the grace of God that they're alive. Now, simply defined, gratitude is the practice of actively remembering and expressing the grace and goodness that is bestowed in our lives. Simply defined, that's what it is. Now, biblically defined, there is a little bit more that goes into it. Because understand, biblically, the word for thanksgiving or the word for gratitude, it's a very big Greek word. I won't bother telling you what it is. You don't really care. But in that word is another word. The root word of thanksgiving in the Bible is the word grace. That's the root of it. Which means that to give thanks, gratitude ultimately is an offering of thanks out of the abundance of grace that has been shown to us by the Lord. And it's not something that is one and done. It's not a matter of, I have received a blessing from God and now I am thankful. That's not what the word actually means. It doesn't mean to say thank you. It means to show an act of gratitude, an act of thanksgiving to the Lord based upon the grace that he has given in our life. You see, it's reciprocal. It's a cycle. There is no just getting enough of grace or getting enough of a blessing and then, okay, thank you for that blessing. It's as the grace of God is continually poured into the life of a believer, that same grace is then expressed in our life in the form of gratitude because we are grateful. We're thankful for the grace of God in our life. That's what it means to be grateful. You see, so often when we think about being thankful, what do we typically think of? We think of, I need to be thankful for this. I need to be thankful for that. I need to be thankful for this. You see, the problem with that is that when that's what it means to be thankful, then when those particular blessings are no longer coming, we think there's nothing left to be thankful for. But that's why gratitude is not actually built into blessing. God does not say, be grateful for your blessing. He says, be grateful for grace. Because his grace is never ending. His grace is never changing. And that's why we read in 1 Thessalonians 5, where Paul says, give thanks in all circumstances. How are we supposed to give thanks in all circumstances? Because God's grace is above circumstance. His grace is not affected by circumstance. His grace is not affected by situations, whether good, whether bad. His grace never changes. His grace is a constant. His grace is persistent. In the life of a believer, we always have and we always receive and we always know the grace of God, which is why we're able to then express the grace of God that has been poured out in our life through gratitude. You see, just like joy, I've done a series on joy before. Our joy should never be affected by the circumstances of life. Why? Because our joy is found in Jesus. Gratitude is the exact same way. Our gratitude, our ability to be thankful in life should never be affected by the circumstances of life, whether they are good or whether they are bad. Why? Because our gratitude flows out of the grace of God. So we have to stop thinking of it in terms of, I'm thankful for this blessing. I'm thankful for that blessing. No, to be grateful, to be a truly grateful Christian means to express the very grace of God that has been poured into our life. And it's a constant, never-ending, never-changing process. But then we see, based upon the gratitude. So Noah displays and he shows how thankful he is for God's grace. And notice how God responds to this worship. Verse 21. When the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I ever again strike down every living creature as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. What does God do? He blesses Noah. It says the pleasing aroma of the sacrifice that Noah offers to the Lord. This is an act of worship. This is a complete and total act of surrender, of thanksgiving, of gratitude, of worship, of declaring the righteousness, declaring the worthiness of God. And God, it says that it comes to him as a pleasing aroma. And God blesses him. Notice the blessing that God gives here. Noah did nothing to earn the blessing. God is not blessing Noah because he was such a good ship captain. He's not blessing Noah because he did such a good job of taking care of all those animals on the ark. He's not blessing Noah because he did such a good job of keeping morale up when they were stuck on the ark for a year. He's not even actually blessing Noah because of his obedience. Now, don't misunderstand me. God does bless because of obedience, but in this particular instance, that's not why the blessing comes. In this particular instance, the blessing comes because of an act of worship. The blessing comes because of the gratitude, the thankfulness that Noah is displaying in putting together this altar in sacrifice to the Lord. See, Noah is grateful for the grace of God. Because as we said earlier, the only reason that Noah is alive, the only reason that his family is alive, is because of the grace of God. God could have just decided that everything in the earth was completely worthless. It was completely useless. God could have chosen, if he had wanted to simply throw it all away and start anew. But he didn't do that. He judged the sin that needed to be judged, but he set apart Noah and his family. And for that, Noah responded in the only way that he could possibly respond. He had received the grace of God, and he expressed the very grace of God back to him. That's what it means to be grateful. And you know, there's no better illustration really of wanting to make sure that someone is grateful than parents trying to teach their kids, you know, how to be grateful. Because that's really, as parents, that's one of our like chief responsibilities, isn't it? Like, we have to make sure that our kids grow up to be grateful human beings. Otherwise, they act like spoiled brats, and then that just embarrasses us as parents. But I mean, that's seriously what we do. I mean, we go to a lot of birthday parties now. And pretty much any birthday party that you go to, you know, when anytime the presents start, the parents are sitting there with their kid, the kid is opening up the gifts, and every time the gift is open, they say, well, who was that from? Okay, tell them thank you. And it's like that for every single gift. Why? Because as parents, we want to make sure that our kids understand that gratitude should be displayed for the blessing, for the grace that was given, because you didn't do anything to earn the gift that was given, so you have to be grateful for the grace that was shown to you. We teach our kids that. And there's nothing more embarrassing than when our kids don't get that. Our kids do something completely ungrateful. Oh, for parents, oh man, that is just so, that's awful, isn't it? Like, you're so embarrassed. You don't really know what to do. You don't really know what to say. It's like, I don't know where they learned that. They learned that from their mother. Like, I don't know what to say to you about that. I'm so sorry. So several years ago, I was at my parents' house, and I was with my siblings, I was with my parents, and we were looking through some old home movies. And one of the first ones that came up, it looked like it was one of my birthday parties. I guess I was around 2-3 years old. I don't remember anything about it. The only reason I can tell you this story today is because I saw the video. But I don't remember anything about it. So I'm about 2 or 3 years old. And in the video, I'm kind of sitting in the corner of a room. And there are a few kids kind of spread around who I'm told were my cousins. I didn't recognize them. And my dad is kind of like sitting beside / behind me, kind of like reaching and putting gifts in front of me. And of course, just like everybody else, I open a gift. He says, what do you say? Thank you. Well, I open up some Lincoln Logs or something like that. I'm real excited, and I say thank you because, you know, Lincoln Logs are cool. Remember Lincoln Logs? Oh, man, they were so awesome. They got nothing on Legos. I don't care what you say. And then my dad hands me this, like, long, thin package, and I open it up, and it's a Ninja Turtle belt. Don't laugh. Ninja Turtles are awesome, okay? I was and still am a huge Ninja Turtle fan. I went as Raphael for Halloween 3 years in a row. So, yeah, Ninja Turtles. Well, I open it up, and the girl that is sitting there next to me starts laughing, and I took offense. So I rear back with this thing, and I hit her across the head with this belt. I shouldn't be laughing. It was bad, but it's funny. And then just everything, like all the noise in the video just stops. Like the adults that were talking off screen, like they just stopped talking. The kids stopped laughing. And my dad's just looking at me with this utter look of horror. And I'm sitting there with my belt. And I don't care. I'm just sitting there with my belt. And so my dad takes the belt out of my hand, and he starts to like profusely like apologize and all this kind of stuff. And so, you know, as a parent now, I can look at that and say, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, Dad. But at the time, watching little 3-year-old me, man, he did not care. He did not care. You can't tell me that we're not born into sin, because that kid did not care. Oh. But here's what I want us to grasp. Here's what I want us to glean from this church. The grace of God is the basis, is the foundation for gratitude. So as believers, it's not only commanded, it's expected. We should be grateful. We should be thankful. Why? Because we know the grace of God. We have the grace of God. We've received the grace of God. We know what it means to have our sins forgiven. We know what it means to have them washed away. We know what it means to be redeemed. So my question for us is very simple. Are you living a life of gratitude? Are you thankful to the Lord? Not for individual blessings. Not for whether or not things are going well or things are going bad in your life right now. But are you thankful to the Lord because he has poured his grace upon you? Are you living a life of gratitude? Are you living a life of thanksgiving, expressing the grace that God has given you? Or maybe you're here this morning and you don't know what it means to be saved. You don't know what it means to be redeemed, to be forgiven. And so you don't know what it means to show that gratitude, show that thanksgiving out of the abundance of grace that God has given us. Well, he's offering it to you right now. He's always been offering it to you. The only thing that's left is for you to receive it. Maybe you're watching online. The only thing left to do is to receive it. You don't have to leave here today without knowing the grace of God, without having received the grace of God. And so I encourage you, respond to the Lord. Respond to how he's speaking. Respond to how he is convicting. And maybe he's telling you that you need to get saved today, that you need to receive his grace. Or maybe he's telling you, even though you already have received his grace, you need to begin living that life of gratitude. You need to begin expressing the grace of God that he has poured into your life through your thankfulness, through your gratitude. So however the Lord is leading, however he is speaking to you this morning, the altar is open. Take the next few moments. Spend some time with the Lord, whether it's here at the altar, whether it's there at your seat, whether it's at home from your couch, your chair, whatever it is. Take these next few moments and spend some time with the Lord in gratitude. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy. Father, there is literally an endless supply of things for us to be grateful to you for. But Father, as we leave here today, may we not leave here people who are thankful or who are grateful for individual blessings. But may we leave here expressing the gratitude and thanksgiving that is based upon your grace. Expressing your grace in our life as we go forth from here today. Father, may we remember these fundamentals of gratitude and express them wherever we go with whoever we come into contact with. In Jesus' name, amen.